Radio Free Weird.
Happy Friday to all 11 of you, especially to Travis Wygand, who is our patron for this episode.
Travis, big Trav.
Oh, I thought you said patron.
No, it's a big Trav.
Big Trav. He donated the money on Patreon, and that's why we're saying his name. Thank you so much for the support, Travis. And thank you. We've had a ton of people over the last couple of weeks who've signed up on Patreon to support the show. And again, thank you so much for that, considering we've been having so many problems getting the goddamn show up and going lately. But we do appreciate that, and all of your support. If you want to become a patron, all you have to do is go to weirdshow.com, find our Patreon link right there, and it's just $5 a month. If you don't want to go to weirdshow.com, you just go to patreon.com. Maybe you already do some stuff on Patreon. You can find us there. We recorded a show on yesterday. That's up there. We did Go Fund Yourself for the first time in months, and also last week's list is up there as well. Speaking of supporting the show, I have no idea where Rod's at.
Now, when you say that you've had a ton, like, are you like weighing the patrons?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
it literally adds up to a ton.
Nice.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that there's not that many of them.
Right.
That means that there's a lot of people. Look, we have a lot of
skinny people and a couple of generous fatties.
I've often said this, James. I've often said that we have not only the best looking, and this sounds like pandering, but it's not. We have the best looking, most in shape, most endowed, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most endowed. I'm talking about penises here. Audience in all of podcasting or radio. And I know it comes off as pandering. And the thing is, I would never pander to these people because they're so smart, they would see right through it.
Mm-hmm. The ladies have big penises as well.
Oh, all of them, yeah. Okay. Well, the ladies might not have big penises, but they got it where it counts. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so I don't know how we're going to do this. Rod was supposed to be here. He's not, and that happens sometimes. So maybe he'll be joining us halfway through the show. I've tried calling him several times. I've texted him many times. He has not responded to the text, which probably means he's asleep and his phone is off. Again, it happens. This is what life is like working with the genius that is Rod Babcock. So we have James Dom joining us.
Hello.
As he does every Friday. And James, what is the list this week?
We are doing best holiday episode or special of television programs. Some of them are well known, some of them less so, but they're all sort of holiday themed in their own way.
See, I like this list a lot because a lot of shows, in fact, I did this earlier on my morning show, will be doing best TV special. Like that's delicious. Best
like
TV special. Rudolph, Charlie Brown Christmas, Frosty the Snowman. By the way, I need to mention this. Frosty the Snowman. Can we just talk about how weird it is that the first thing that Frosty the Snowman says when he's brought to life by the Magic Hat is "Happy Birthday"? What does that even mean? Who's he saying happy birthday to? Himself?
Maybe.
Who says happy birthday to themselves? Do you wake up on your birthday and say happy birthday? No, because you're not a narcissistic psycho. That doesn't make any sense. Why does he do that?
Because he's a narcissistic psycho?
Oh, I forgot about that. That's why he had to sacrifice himself at the end to make amends for what a narcissistic psychopath he was.
I mean, Jim Jones drank the Kool-Aid, too. He made sure everybody else did. But then, you know,
If I remember correctly, he didn't want to, and somebody forced him, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
I mean, not to besmirch the memory of Jim Jones, but he was kind of a coward.
No, everybody says he was a swell guy.
Great guy up until the very end. He was a great guy. And then, you know, lost it a little bit at the end.
Man, off the rails.
Totally off. But since you brought it up, I can't help but talk about this. We forget what a crazy ass time the 70s and 80s were, you know? We really do. And we think like now is crazy, you know, with politics or whatever. We have nothing today that compares to how insane the 70s and 80s were. Yes, we have, like, you know, the occasional mass shooting, and I'm not dismissing how horrible those things are, but in the 70s and 80s, you had serial killers, like, stalking people all over. Every state had their own serial killer who was like, oh, it's the cheerleader serial killer. California had like 15 of them going on at one time. Like, the FBI was hiring extra people just to deal with how many goddamn serial killers they had all over California. We don't have that anymore. I'm not saying we don't have killers, but we don't have it like we used to.
You don't hear about too many Ted Bundys.
No, you don't hear that stuff anymore. You know why? Because they get caught sooner. In fact, I've argued, and this sounds insane, but I think there's some truth to this, and you would know, being a criminal justice major and specialist, James, I think that there's some truth to this. I think the reason we have so many, like, mass spree killers, the mass shootings and stuff like that, is because we don't have serial killers anymore. Because the serial killers used to do it and then, like, would read their names in the papers and go, like, hoo-hoo-hoo. But now people know, well, if I kill, like, two or three people, I'm probably going to get caught because they're so much better at detecting the stuff now with DNA evidence and everything. So now they just go on some kind of mass shooting and they're checking their Twitter while they're doing the mass shooting.
Right. Not to sound like a total friggin' weirdo, but if you really kind of want to get away with that, like, don't have a pattern.
Like, oh, being a serial killer?
That's where they get caught up. Like, if you kill random people, it's really hard to figure it out. Like, if you just see somebody, like, I don't like to look at him, and you kill him. Or, like, you see a lady, and you're like, get her. And
no, you have to...
Yeah,
you have to kill people that you like the look of and don't like the look of, though.
Yeah.
I think that's the key. Yeah. You have to vary it. Because I've always said that I'm not afraid of serial killers. I've never been afraid of serial killers. After the age of, like, 10 or 12, for the most part, if you're over the age of 18 and you're a man,
nobody's fishing in that pond.
nobody cares about you. Nobody, no serial killers after you. You are not bait for anybody. Let me put it this way. There's no woman who's a police officer trying to catch a serial killer by dressing up as a guy that looks like me. That's not gonna happen. She's not going to pretend to be, oh, I'm totally in. Let me tell you, I think the Chiefs are going to win this Sunday. What do you think? And trying to lure the guy into a trap. It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't happen. But I'm just saying, like, if there was a serial killer who was like the professional wrestler serial killer, I'd be like, oh, my God, that guy's kind of a badass. I'm not saying I applaud what he does. But at the same time, you know, that's kind of cool. Yeah, he's going after, like, these roid, and he's only going after guys, like, with full-on roid rage, like, shrunken testicles and everything. He's just going after the most insane, off-balance, psychotic professional wrestlers.
Ultimate Warriors, your Macho Man Randy Savages.
Yes, your Hulk Hogan in the day. How did we get? Oh, so the list today is the best Christmas.
Not just Christmas holiday. It's Christmas, but...
Christmas. Know, what are we doing? We're excluding people now? Now we're going to be worrying about excluding people? Best holiday or Christmas episode of a TV show. And that's not, again, it's not, you know, your Emmett Otter Jug Band Christmas or your Grinch Who Stole Christmas or anything like that, which are great. We've done them before. These are just the episode of a show. Like, it's not a one-off. It is an episode of a show already in progress. Sometimes the storylines of the show factor themselves into this, and it's just like, you know, sitcoms and stuff. It's going to be really fun. I don't think I've ever heard anybody do this before, and maybe we'll figure out while we're doing it why that is. So I am going to start the list, and you know what I'm going to do?
What are you gonna do?
Since Rod isn't here, I'm gonna make Rod's picks for him.
Okay.
And if he doesn't like it, he can suck it. Then he should wake up and actually join the show. All right. I'm gonna start with my first pick. It's from the US version of The Office. It's from the eighth season or ninth season, whichever it was. Considered by many people to be not as good of a season. I actually think it's a good season. Just because Steve Carell isn't on the show anymore doesn't mean the show doesn't still hold up. I think it's still good. It's my favorite episode of that season and my favorite Christmas episode, because The Office did Christmas episodes almost every single season. It's called Dwight Christmas. And what it is Dwight, the office, you know, I don't know what you would call him, dick, nerd, the foil for the protagonist of Jim Halpert and his wife, dressing up as Belschnickel, which is a Pennsylvania Dutch version of the Krampus, i.e. a Santa Claus that actually punishes children. And here it is.
Oh, judgment is nigh, for the Belschnickel is nigh.
Yes, he is finally nigh.
I am nigh.
Every year, my grandfather would dress up as Belschnickel at Christmas. He was okay at it. I am great. You know, they say some people were born to be bad. Well, I was born to be Belschnickel.
Oh, Belschnickel has traveled from distant lands to discover how all the boys and the girls have been behaving this last year. Oh, too much strudel.
So he's kind of like Santa, except dirty and worse.
Oh, much better. No one fears Santa the way they fear Belschnickel. Wow.
It's my favorite part of Christmas, the authority.
Yeah. And the fear.
Yes, exactly.
Come on. There you go. Belschnickel. And I did look it up. It is a real thing. It wasn't something made up for the TV show. It really was a thing. I still can't get over that we've lost that tradition of... We've kind of conjoined them. Like, Santa Claus will bring kids presents, but he'll also bring them coal if they're bad. Never happens anymore, but it'll bring them coal if they're bad, which I think is bad for Santa Claus. That gives him a bad rap. Like, he's not supposed to be the one punishing you. He should be sending a monster into your room in the middle of the night to put you in a bag and beat you with reeds.
Yeah, that's sensible.
It's only fair.
Yeah, he farms out the dirty work. You know,
yeah.
You don't want to be that guy. Was that your John pick, or was that your Rod? John
that
pick?
Was. Well, Rod has actually never seen an episode. Well, no, Rod has only seen episodes of The Office. He's never actually listened to an episode. It's a weird thing. Whenever when Rod and I were working together, he would watch The Office on Comedy Central in his studio with the audio off.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He was Britney Spearsing it. All right, James, your first pick.
Because I love it so dearly. There's a lot of the Fox animation domination shows, but one of my most favorite of all time is Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
It was that perfect crossroads of like smart and nerdy and dumb and lowbrow and just.
I feel like Rick and Morty is going for the same kind of tone.
Yeah, yeah. I get that.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody posted something that like if you age Rick some, he just essentially becomes Professor Farnsworth.
Yeah, I get that. I can see that. Yeah,
mellows out a little bit. And
so on Futurama, the cool thing was they would do Christmas, but wouldn't they do it as an anthology thing, almost like The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror? Or am I wrong about that? Am I thinking of that wrong?
I
think they did that at least one year, but maybe they had genuine Christmas episodes. But the point is, Santa Claus was a robotic monster who would murder everybody,
and he had was a thing—a really, really high expectation of what nice was, and so pretty much everybody was naughty.
Right.
I think Zoidberg was nice.
Who was nice?
I think Zoidberg was nice, and
was the only one who was nice,
like pogo shoes or something.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
My mom would get a fresh goose for goose burgers, and my dad would whip up his special eggnog out of bourbon and ice cubes. This dumb holiday just makes me think of all the things I left behind. Let's just stop talking about Xmas.
Happy Xmas, Xmas people! Xmas cards have arrived! Xmas! Amy, there you go. Fry, Professor, Zoidberg, a mighty haul for Bender.
Yes, I got the most! I win Xmas!
And last but not least, the sweet flower of the office, me, Hermes Conrad.
Okay, so then you have the Santa Claus showing up and murdering everybody.
Right.
As for the rest of you, I'm going to tear off your skin like wrapping paper and deck the whole...
If you can't tell already, Santa Claus played by John Goodman.
world with your guts.
Yeah? Well, I don't believe in Santa Claus. Come on, everybody. If you don't believe in him, he can't hurt you. Oh, God, the pain!
Time to get jolly on your naughty asses.
There you go. What's funny is Rod would have loved that pick. Because Rod, many times on our show, people said he sounded just like Bender from Futurama. And then we are friends with, and he's probably listening to the show, but we're good friends with Tom Kane, who is the voice of Yoda in the new Star Wars movies and TV shows. Lives in Overland Park, Kansas, and was a fan of the show and came on the show many times. And he told Rod one time, without being prompted, without anybody saying to him, he's like, you know who you sound like? You sound just like my friend. Who does the voice of Bender? John
DiMaggio.
DiMaggio. He's like, you sound just like my friend John DiMaggio. And Rod didn't know who that was. And I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious. And Tom was like, what? I was like, everybody says he sounds like Bender. Everybody says he sounds like Bender from Futurama. Either he sounds like Bender from Futurama or like De La Soul at the beginning of Feel Good Incorporated by Gorillaz. But he got that a lot. And he would have loved.
Oh.
Rod would have loved that pick.
The late Rod Babcock.
The late Rod Babcock, who is late. He's literally late. We don't know where he's at. I'm assuming he's not dead. Otherwise, this will be really bad.
Right. Hindsight will be brutal on this, but
I'm still going to publish the episode, but right. I just want you to know I will feel very bad about it.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. All right.
The content.
Next one. Yeah. What am I going to record something again?
Is this your Rod John pick?
This is my Rod John pick because I know Rod is also a huge fan of the show. And you mentioned Fox Animation, Bob's Burgers, which
hey.
I believe is in its 10th season or going on its 10th season. If it maintains its quality, I believe that Bob's Burgers will actually outpace The Simpsons as far as quality. I'm not saying Bob's Burgers is great. I don't think it's as great as The Simpsons was at its greatest, like season 3 through 7, but it's been better longer. Because even by like the 8th season of The Simpsons, you're kind of like, it's kind of falling off. Point is, this is Bob's Burgers Christmas in the Car, where they were being terrorized by a dude named Gary in a giant candy cane truck because he was going too slow or something like that. I can't remember. He cut them off. And
yeah, they were backing out of a Christmas tree parking lot, and they accidentally cut off Gary.
Yeah. And then Linda started honking the horn at him. And so it's a great episode. It's also very reminiscent of the movie Duel by Steven Spielberg, a little-known director from the 80s. Anyway, here's that.
It's go time. Take my coat off.
So this is the scene where Bob gets out of the car. He's tired of this candy cane truck driver stalking them. Obviously, the candy cane truck driver played by Bobcat Goldthwait. He gets out. And he's like, let's do this. Let's do this. You can just punch me, okay? Let's just punch me and get this over with.
Look, how about this? My car is stuck in the snow. If you could, you're really shivering. If you could just help us pull it out, because you have a big truck.
I'm about to bang your ass, and you're asking me for help?
Bang my ass?
Yeah, bang your ass.
Okay. Okay. I've never heard it said that way.
What? Bang?
You mean beat me up?
You know, I think I meant kick. I think I meant kick. It was like halfway out of my mouth, and I went, ooh, that could be taken the wrong way. Come on, well, let's go! Let's go!
All right, look, I'll tell you what. If you pull our car out of the snow, I'll let you punch me in the stomach.
Ah, babes. You're gonna let this guy hit you?
He's just a sad little guy, Lynn. I don't think it's gonna hurt. I'll just act like it does.
Do your girl scream.
What girl scream?
I think she means your regular scream.
And then do your girl walk.
Girl walk? I don't have a girl walk.
Yeah, you do this like...
Right? One of my favorite episodes of Bob's Burgers, and it's also Gene trying to call the radio station to get them to play Jingle in the Jungle, in unknown... Christmas song that only is unknown because it's only on Bob's Burgers. Also led to one of my, I used to play this all the time on my show, Louise saying, Merry Christmas, Radio DJ. I don't know why, but it was cute, and I loved it. So that goes on the list as number three.
Did you know that that once upon a time, Bobcat Goldthwait was in a comedy duo with Tom Kenny?
Really? That kind of makes sense because they did Shakes the Clown together, but I didn't know they were in a duo together.
Bobcat and Tomcat.
Right. Tom Kenny, who is the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants now.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, he's done a lot of other things, but that's what people will most know him for. That's amazing. Okay.
You're Tom Kenny from Mr. Show.
Mr. Show as well, yeah. Everybody knows him from that. I mean, yeah. Everybody
loves Mr. Show. Mid to late 90s HBO sketch comedy.
Esoteric sketch comedy. Yeah. All right, the next one.
To die.
Next one is number four, pick number four, and it's mine. It is Seinfeld. It's the episode called The Strike, which you might not recognize, but it is the episode that had the airing of the grievances.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it. You, Kroger, my son tells me your company stinks.
Oh, God.
Quiet, we'll get yours in a minute. Kroger, you couldn't smooth a silk sheet if you had a hot date with a babe. I lost my train of thought.
Jerry.
Gwen, how did you know I was here?
Kramer told me.
Another Festivus miracle.
You don't know what Festivus is. It is a made-up holiday on, I believe it was December 23rd, that George's family celebrated, where they had certain things like the airing of grievances, which was going on there. Also had feats of strength, where I think they just wrestled each other, right?
I think so.
And there was a Festivus pole. There was just a pole.
An aluminum
pole that they had, and it was great. And, you know, it's funny for a TV show that even they said was the most Jewish show on television, that they had one of the best Christmas episodes of all time, but it fits.
I looked into this because I was trying to figure out what the name of the episode was because I didn't know.
It's The Strike, right?
Yeah. Festivus predates this episode. Like it was.
It's an actual thing.
Yeah, like the guy who wrote the episode, his dad came up with it, and he wrote an article about it as like an alternative to Christmas.
Oh my God, that's awesome! Well, have you ever read the John Hughes his actual article from the National Lampoon? Because he used to write for the National Lampoon.
Mm-hmm.
His article that
was one of them smart Harvard boys, huh?
Yeah, that was the setup.
Pants.
It was the setup for Vacation.
Okay,
it's deranged. Like it's a quick read. It's not even. I wouldn't even say it's like short story length. It's not. Well, I don't know. It's like maybe four or five pages, but it is like crazy. Like it's really good. But everybody should check that out. I always find that fascinating, though. Like it's based on especially with a sitcom, something that's based on something that happened to somebody in real life. All right, so Festivus is real. It's pick number four, James. You have the next one.
Okay, I'll kind of run with that theme and go to the dirty HBO version of Seinfeld, which is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
And it is a episode called Mary, Joseph, and Larry, where Larry is visiting his wife Cheryl's family for Christmas, and Larry's Jewish, and he doesn't quite.
What happened to the cookies?
What?
The cookie!
The cookies from... What, from last night?
Yeah!
Well, I ate them!
What? You ate them?! They were for the manger scene! You ate the baby Jesus and his mother Mary!
I thought they were animal cookies!
Animal cookies!
Are you kidding?
Jesus Christ is not an animal, all right?
I thought he was a monkey!
A monkey?
Oh, please!
Mary, have you got
the Son of God was a monkey?
We worked all day on those.
By the way, his wife's sister, played by Caitlin Olson from Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You know, another show with a ridiculous title.
Sweet D.
I'm sorry.
You didn't see the hay, the toasted coconut with hay, the barn.
I thought that was all part of the zoo.
Why are we at the zoo?
There we go. So, Curb Your Enthusiasm. What is the name of that episode?
Mary, Joseph, and Larry.
There you go. So, the next one is Rod's pick. And Rod told me that, man, he really loves the show American Dad.
Okay.
So yeah, big fan. And I'm gonna let James set this one up.
Okay, so this is I think a fairly recent one. And there are odd. There's kind of a running thing with Santa on American Dad, and Santa is kind of malevolent, like he is on Futurama. He's kind of an asshole. And Stan's deadbeat dad, who ran away, has been transformed into the Krampus in this timeline. And Santa is kidnapping children to look for some Mesopotamian artifact from the Epic of Gilgamesh to gain this power of this giant. It's
so just your traditional Christmas story.
It's completely absurd, and it's I kind of got the vibe. So when they were all on Fox, so like you had American Dad, you had Family Guy, and you had the Cleveland Show, and the Cleveland Show was terrible.
Right.
And like I kind of got the vibe, and like the first season of American Dad is okay. Like they were still trying to get their feet, I think. But once they figured out their formula and they got it, I kind of got the vibe that like you had almost the same group of writers writing jokes. And like if they were too smart, they went on American Dad. If they were kind of middle of the road, they went on Family Guy. And if they were just dumb as shit and garbage, they went on Cleveland
Show. They went on Cleveland Show. Yeah, that's probably accurate. All right, here we go.
But you don't understand, Krampus. Santa has kidnapped Steve.
Steve Harvey? Santa's gone too far this time.
No, Steve Smith. Your grandson.
Fine.
Hey, I was going to the wharf to yell at the bucket drummers.
Tough. We're going to the North Pole.
You know what? What American Dad for me, it works because I never had very high expectations for it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like The Simpsons, it kind of let me down because of how good it was. And I feel like the same way about The Family Guy. The Family Guy for like the first couple of seasons, and then even when it came back, the next couple of seasons was amazing. And now it's just kind of like, okay, we get it. The baby's gay now. I don't know. Whatever. Whereas American Dad's always like held the same kind of low altitude for me. Like I never expected it to fly that high. And the fact that it's still off the ground is pretty amazing to me.
It's the spruce goose.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But the spruce goose that flies. All right. The next one then
the spruce
is...
Spruce goose flew? The Hercules
did
flew.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it stayed in the air, I guess is the point.
It didn't fly for long, and it didn't get very high off the ground, but it flew.
The next one is my pick. It's Scrubs. As everybody knows, one of my favorite shows of all time. This episode is called My Personal Jesus.
Who put this up?
I did.
It's got a mistletoe.
I drove around the whole city before my 5 a.m. shift, just looking for that. Trying to add a little cheer. You will not ruin my Christmas.
Not again.
Not again. Not this year.
But I've only worked here for 3 months.
There we go. maybe that context didn't make any sense, but I'm not going to pass up an opportunity to play
janitor
a clip
JD.
Between the janitor and JD, especially early on. All right, the next pick is James's pick. All right, James,
I'm going to go with the OG of the Fox animations. It is actually the very first episode of The Simpsons, called Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire.
Get a load of that quote unquote Santa!
I can't believe those kids are falling for it.
Hey, Milhouse, I dare you to sit on his lap.
Oh, I doubt that there's anybody who needs this explanation, but it's where Homer, in order to make some extra money, dresses up as a mall Santa and plays a mall Santa for Christmas.
Well, I dare you to yank his beard off.
Ah, touche.
I hope you feel better, Santa.
Oh, I will when Mrs. Claus's sisters get out of town. Thanks for listening, kid.
Hey, Santa, what's shaking, man?
What's your name, partner? Bart? Little partner?
Well, I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you?
I'm jolly old Saint Nick.
Oh, yeah? We'll just see about that.
Hold on, beard. It's Homer. There you go. And then later, after Homer realizes he only gets, I think, $13 for playing Santa Claus, they try to recoup their winnings by going
to the dog track.
And they don't win, but they do find something else.
Beat it! Scram! Get lost! You came in last for the last time!
Look, Dad, it's Santa's little helper.
And don't come back!
Oh, no, you don't. No, no, get away from me. Uh-uh.
Oh, can we keep him, Dad, please?
But he's a loser! He's pathetic! He's
a Simpson.
A Simpson.
Aw. You know, it's funny. I remember watching that episode, like,
right,
when it first aired. And I remember, and it's so, it seems so quaint and silly now, but I remember when The Simpsons was on, this generational battle between kids like our age and their parents over watching The Simpsons. Most parents did not want their kids watching The Simpsons. My mom didn't care. My dad, because he's a dick, my dad did not want me watching The Simpsons. That worried that it would taint my mind.
Eat your, which I would, eat I would shorts. Think,
yeah, I would think that his emotional abuse would have tainted me a lot more than The Simpsons. But anyway, he thought that, no, I shouldn't watch The Simpsons because it's going to warp my mind. And my aunt, God love her because she's the greatest, my aunt would actually tape The Simpsons so I could just watch them at her house. Anyway, I remember watching
that
first episode and trying to explain to my dad, like, why it's a good show and it's wholesome, because the ending of that episode, yes, Bart says eat my shorts. Yes, there's some slightly risque stuff every once in a while in The Simpsons, but the heart of that show is undeniable. And what is wrong with you if you don't want your kids to watch something like that just because every once in a while there's some risque stuff?
It's really kind of funny to go back and watch that first season of The Simpsons, though, because, like, the animation's a little terrible. Sketchy.
Yeah.
And they're still figuring out the voices.
Yeah, they're still figuring out the voices. And, you know, I always wrote it off because I was so young when it first came out. And I didn't revisit it until a couple years ago. I went back and watched the entire first season. And it still holds up. It looks different.
Yeah.
The voices are weird. But I think the writing was still excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. That's pick number 9.
That was 8.
That was 8. Okay, so here's pick number 9, going from the greatest Fox animated show of all time to what I consider to be the second greatest, King of the Hill. This episode is called Pretty Pretty Dresses. It's an episode where Bill, the next-door neighbor who just is a gigantic loser. Sad sack, thank you. His wife had left him, and he keeps expecting her to...
He's convinced Lenore will come back to him, and...
To him, and Hank and Peggy are throwing a big Christmas party, and they're worried that Bill's forlornness over Lenore not coming back is going to ruin it because he's kind of psychotic. It's funny, I'm going to say this before we get into this. There's a couple of episodes of King of the Hill that take place around Christmas that deal directly with Bill's depression. there's another episode where he buys, like, a bouncy house for all the neighborhood kids to play in for Christmas. And he dresses up as Santa Claus. The kids come over. He, like, almost makes it with, like, some mom that brings her kids over. She's a single mom. And then he ruins it because it's after Christmas and he refuses to take the Santa Claus costume off. Anyway, it's not that episode. It's this episode, Pretty Pretty Dresses. And, well, here's a little bit of it. Come on. You can work.
I do love Christmas. I like to celebrate the anniversary of when Lenore left me 7 years ago Christmas Eve. Best thing that ever happened to me. Yep.
Well, that's nice, Bill.
Yeah, I tell you what, holidays are the least lonely time of the year.
There you go. And this is when he starts to have his psychotic snap right here.
Come on, Bill. How about a beer?
Beer's a depressant, Hank.
Don't go blaming the beer.
He tries to put his head in the oven. It's an electric stove.
Just a lot of failed, half-hearted suicide attempts.
Yeah, I think that is the most cliched of the half-hearted suicide attempts. I believe there's a story about Elton John trying to do that, and then Bernie Taupin coming in and going, "Hey, you moron, that's an electric stove." Is where he shows up in a dress.
Do you gentlemen think you could spare a beer for a lady?
Come on, you know your bill.
No, I don't know that. I'm Lenore.
Well, if you're Lenore, mm-hmm. then where's Bill? Huh?
Bill's in the house. Mm-hmm. You want me to go get him?
I'm skeptical that you could, yet intrigued that you may.
All right, so the episode ends with, at the Christmas party, Bill still dressed up in the dresses of his ex-wife, and then Hank puts on a dress and goes, "It's that kind of party," and then goes out and tells Bill that he's Lenore and he doesn't love him anymore, and she's not gonna come back. And then Bill goes off on Lenore, purges his system, feels a lot better, Christmas is saved. Bill is then, for the rest of the series, like, totally normal and well adjusted. It was crazy.
Well adjusted might be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. I love King of the Hill. I still will, when I get in like just fits where I don't know what to watch, I have all of the seasons of King of the Hill on Plex, and there's a shuffle option on Plex. I put it on shuffle and it'll just go through. The King of the Hill also satisfies that thing that I was saying about American Dad, where I think it was pretty great, like the first four or five seasons, and then it kind of leveled off to a decent altitude where it was still good. It just wasn't as good as it was before. It didn't strike out as nearly as much as, right, you know, New Simpsons does. But I love King of the Hill. And I honestly, if they were going to reboot a show on Fox, I would actually love it if they did bring back King of the Hill.
But you can't, because like Leanne and Lucky are both dead, like in real life. Oh my
God, you're right. Well, that's easy. They just died in a car accident, in a truck accident. He was shining his truck.
He was not lucky this time.
That would be tragic because I believe they had a baby on the show. So does the baby die too? Anyway, the next Christmas episode that we're going to talk about for best Christmas special
on the dead baby front, let's move on,
is 30 Rock, one of my favorite shows of all time. This episode is where Jack, the boss of 30 Rock, is forcing everybody to work on the show overtime and late because he's trying to avoid dealing with his mother around Christmas.
Your mother is here?
I don't care. I'm trying to produce a Christmas special that makes It's a Wonderful Life look like Pulp Fiction. Where the hell is Mrs. Claus? You can't do Christmas Eve without her. What is wrong with you people?
We're on in 30 seconds.
How come you not have Mrs. Claus?
I didn't realize you were serious about that, so I cut it.
You can't cut Mrs. Claus. Everyone knows that on Christmas Eve, Mrs. Claus hangs your stockings and then puts out food for Santa. Then you sing songs around the piano until she tucks you in. Did your mother not do that?
That's not a thing, Jack.
Yes, it is.
No. Mrs. Claus must have been something special that Colleen did, probably to make up for the fact that your dad wasn't around.
No. Christmas in the Donaghy house was awful. Have I not told you about my mom's Yuletide boyfriend, good old Frederick August Otto Schwartz III?
F.A.O. Schwartz, like the toy store?
His family owned some toy stores, yes. So what?
Jack, I think your mother put out on Christmas to get you kids presents. She did it for you.
Not possible. She didn't do anything for us.
I know you guys were pretty poor. Did you have a lot of presents?
You couldn't even see the tree.
There you go. So he realized that his mom skanked out on Christmas just to get toys. I recently learned that it's one of those things where you move to an area and then all of a sudden you start hearing things that you've heard a million times in shows before but had no like context for it. They actually, Jack and his mom, lived in Waltham, Massachusetts, which is literally down the street from where I live.
No fool.
So I kind of, I feel like a weird connection to 30 Rock because of that. And by the way, there's no way they could afford to live in Waltham. All right, so the next one is you, James. And what number are we on?
We are going on number 11.
All right, for best Christmas episode of a TV show, number 11.
I'm going to stick with a skanky mom theme and go with It's Always like Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay,
A Very Sunny Christmas.
Oh, well, hello, and Merry Christmas.
So this is where Charlie is convinced that his mom slept with Santa Claus,
mm-hmm.
and then goes to the mall to confront Santa Claus.
So
So, where's your little one? Oh! You're a big boy, aren't you? So, son, what would you like for Christmas, huh?
Did you f*** my mom?
There you go. And it gets way out of hand from there, where I believe he bites off Santa's nose or something.
There's some biting that occurs.
There's some biting. For those of you who don't know, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is a dark show. A very dark show. And it's funny, I had an argument with somebody who tried to claim that It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is like politically a very woke show. Like it makes some really good point. And I'm like, no, why are you reading so much into it? It doesn't. Like, you think it does because you like the show. I like the show too. But that it doesn't make, it's not trying to make any broader points. Stop stapling things on it that it doesn't have the ability to hold. It just can't.
Like, if it tries to be woke, it's by being the opposite. It's like by being in a coma.
Right. But that's why it's a parody. No, it's not. It's not a parody of anything. It's just showing disgusting, horrible people. Like, they literally set out to make a show that was like Seinfeld on crack, and Seinfeld already had morally despicable people in it, so that's the point.
Well, that was the first season. It was like the second, third, fourth episode, and it was called Charlie Got Molested.
Yes, right. No, they were trying to make a point about priests or something. No, they weren't.
But they tried to do like a TV edit of that on just like regular Fox, and it
doesn't
work at all.
No, it doesn't work at all. All right, the next one is I would assume Rod would have this pick because he's a huge fan of the show Frasier. He's not, but I am. So that's why it's going to be this next pick. It's called Miracle on 3rd or 4th Street. It's from the first season of Frasier, where Frasier's son Frederick can't come to Seattle to see him on Christmas, and so Frasier is very upset.
Because he's going to have the most magical Christmas of all time.
Right, he's going to go
Salzburg.
To Austria, to Salzburg, and like redo the Von Trapp family. Yeah, the Sound of Music thing.
Hold on, then go to Euro Disney.
I hope you two aren't going to be behaving this way up at the cabin.
Oh, we won't, because I'm not going to the cabin.
What do you mean you're not going to the cabin? Where the hell are you going?
I'm staying right here.
Well, you can't stay alone on Christmas.
I decided to fill in for Bulldog. Somebody will have a Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
By the way, I've worked in radio for roughly 10 to 12 years. Never once has a host been expected for any reason to work on Christmas. That has never once ever been a thing, ever. So anyway, Frasier then goes to the station on Christmas. He has a miserable time. He has a phone screener named Roz, who he sends home. I don't know how he did the rest of the show, because she has the board in her office, so I don't know how
I think he ran the show from the board.
Did he?
Yeah, I think they actually showed that.
This is Jonathan, and I am editing the show now. Just wanted to say that James is wrong. They did not show that. Frasier somehow magically ran the show from his on-air studio without a board.
Okay, if you say so.
Because I watched that episode.
Well, now I need to go back and watch Frasier. That's what you've done to me, James.
I'm sorry. Frasier as much... I liked Frasier. It was a little later on. Like, I wasn't super into it.
Yeah.
But like it's a lot like its predecessor, Cheers, where like watching it now, I'm like, God damn, this is a smart and funny show.
Oh my God. I think when you were a kid and you're watching it, you didn't really get it. But I've always said Frasier is the most Emmy deserving show of all time, because it just ticks all those boxes. Acting, amazing. Writing, amazing. All of the, I mean, for a sitcom in the 90s, the blocking and cinematography, all of that stuff, it's just in every single way, the casting, it's pitch perfect. And some people don't like it, and I get that, and that's fine. But as far as like, to me, it's like, as far as a prestige show is concerned, it's up there. The episode ends with him at a diner, and he loses his wallet.
Excuse me, miss, something rather embarrassing has just happened. I seem to have lost my wallet.
You mean you can't pay?
Oh, no, I can pay. I can pay.
And you should know that Frasier, who generally wears Armani suits, as all of us do in radio, because we all get paid that well, is dressed in like just a ratty old sweatsuit and looks very much like a bum.
I must have just left it at the office.
Uh-huh.
Well, I could just go back there and get it.
Lou, it's all right. This one's on me.
Oh, no. See, you don't understand.
It's okay, buddy. We've all been there.
Yes, but you see, I really did misplace my wallet.
I know you did. And Bill here misplaced his Wall Street portfolio. Here, Bill, help me out.
Oh, no.
Hey, everybody! People!
No, that's not
necessary. Come on. Let's help a poor man get a nice Christmas dinner. Come on.
No, please.
You don't understand. Even pennies
see,
die.
I make a very decent living. I really do.
Thank you very much.
This is not necessary at all. I must say, I've never been so touched in my life. To think that you people would give up your money, which you can ill afford to help out a fellow human being.
There you go, Lou.
Yeah, I'm still so embarrassed.
Be embarrassed? Look at it this way. The rest of the year belongs to the rich people with their fancy houses, expensive foreign cars.
He pointed at Fraser's car.
Christmas belongs to guys like us.
Which I associate with Fraser. He drove a BMW and I currently drive a Nissan Altima. I'm not trying to brag.
Do you have a fancy foreign car?
But I have a very fancy foreign car. Cost me $20,000 at Enterprise car sales. Anyway, all right. Next one. What number was that?
That was 12. So 13 number is you, not Rod, you.
Okay, 13 is me, not Rod, me. And yep. We'll go with South Park. And a lot of people, if they were picking a South Park episode to do for Christmas, they'd probably pick Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh. But instead, we're going with, I think, a much funnier episode that wasn't just the giant turd joke. Woodland Critters Christmas.
When up in the sky, the sound of sleigh bells were heard.
And a jolly red sleigh flew down to the earth like a bird.
Hey, look! It's Santa Claus! Yay! Let's eat his flesh!
All right, what the hell is going on? Why is there a red star glowing in the sky?
We finally did it, Santa! We brought forth the Antichrist with help from our good friend Stanny! Death and pain await all living things!
By the way, if you've never seen this episode, these are cute little furry woodland critters who are also satanic cult members.
Oh boy, you should be ashamed.
I mean, I didn't mean to help them. I tried to stop them.
Well, good going, stupid. There's only one way to stop devil worshipping critters.
Pulls out a shotgun, blows out their brains.
Dude, what the? Come on, dude.
Gee whiz, Santa, you're not gonna kill me, are you?
There we go. Gee whiz, Santa, you're not gonna kill me, are you? Followed by a shotgun blast is my favorite Christmas song of all time. That's number 13, Woodland Critters Christmas, which also has one of my favorite quotes from South Park of all time, which is, what's going on? It's Critters Christmas, dude. It sucks. All right, so the next one is James.
I'm going to go with kind of an oddball one, and I'm going to go with the Boondocks.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a Huey Freeman Christmas.
Here's Santa Claus!
What the hell? Hey there, pretty little white chillin. Now look at all them precious little vanilla-colored faces.
I heard this was the only guy that could find to do it.
Now, I know y'all think old Santa Claus look a little bit darker than he used to, ho-ho! But see, that's just cause Santa Claus got a little bit of re-vitiligo. See, that's the opposite of what Michael Jackson got. Don't worry, ain't no Jesus juice up here. Come on, let's get this show on the road.
All right, by the way,
that's not Santa.
Santa Claus, played by Uncle Ruckus. I guess is like kind of a dirty version of Uncle Remus from Song of the South. Right. And hates black people, is more racist than most white people could even fathom being, and dresses up as Santa Claus for whatever reason. I believe the premise of the episode then was one of the kids believed that Santa Claus owed him money or presents.
Yeah. Yeah, and started a fight in the mall, like through a chair, and that was like a running theme, and it had to do with like the Jerry Springer show, and like if you threw a chair, you knew shit was about to jump off.
Right.
And so he throws a chair and then attacks Santa.
So that's on the list of number 14?
14.
Wrapping this up. All right, the next pick is mine, and I'm going to go with a mostly forgotten show now, but was genius at the time, a show called Community, all about people going to community college, which I associated with because all the colleges I've ever gone to have all been community college, which I always find funny now living out here in Boston. When people ask me what college I went to, they always assume, for whatever reason, that it had to be, you know, like BCU or UMass. Or nobody ever assumes Harvard, but you know, somewhere really nice.
You went to MIT on an astronaut scholarship.
Yes, yeah, and wound up
race car driver.
Right, and realized while I was hurtling through the oblivion of space that I like making dick and fart jokes on the air, and that's why I became a morning show DJ.
It's better than astronaut and race car driver.
Yeah. I love this show. It was all about people going to community college. This episode is Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas, where Abed was one of the characters on the show, which a lot of people now and at the time even assumed, and I think correctly, was on the spectrum. Abed starts seeing everything in claymation terms.
This is disappointing.
What do you care about Christmas, Abed? You're Muslim. Don't your people spend this season writing angry letters to TV Guide?
It's true. Religiously, I'm Muslim. But I've always been a big fan of Christmas. And this is the most important Christmas in the history of the universe. I'm assuming that's why we're all stop-motion animated.
I vote we let it go.
What did you say we were, Abed?
We're stop-motion animated.
I don't understand what he's saying.
I never understand what any of you are saying.
You guys don't see it? I noticed it this morning. That's how I knew it was a special Christmas. We've clearly entered a whole new medium.
Abed, does the word clearly mean the same thing to you as it does to normal people?
It's probably Arabic for not clearly.
Huh? You really expect me to tarnish the high five for that?
There you go. So that's Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas. And, well, here's another clip from the episode. God damn it. Sorry, this is really hard doing this off my phone. I'm never going to do it this way again.
You should be at the North Pole by 9 o'clock Eastern Candy Time. You guys see the countryside? There's the Menorah Mountains and Jehovah Witness Bay.
Thanks for adding that, man.
This is nicer than all the Christmases I ever celebrated.
But you're Jewish.
On my mom's side. But my dad's Episcopalian. And before the divorce, the holidays were a minefield of overlapping rituals.
I like the rituals. My parents are divorced, too. My mom's Polish. She loves Christmas. Every year, she visits on the same day, December 9th. And every year, we sit and watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer together. Every year.
But Abed, today is December 9th. It's the last day of classes.
Yeah, that can't be right. She comes every year. Today must be December 8th. She comes every year.
Okay, I'm getting sad. I can't watch this anymore. All right, so that's... Number 15, James, you have the final pick, number 15, or 16. That's, you know, the number after the number I said.
You're giving me the last rod pick?
Yes, I'm giving you the last rod pick.
Okay. Let me go with Arrested Development, then.
Arrested Development. All right. What is it?
It's an episode called Afternoon Delight, where they're having a Bluth Company holiday party, and there's some karaoke at the party. And ill-advisedly,
Uncle Michael.
The main character Michael Bluth starts singing a song,
a duet
with his niece. A duet with his niece. Yep.
Okay, I'll be right there. Sorry, I gotta go do this. I'll be right back.
And Michael sang a duet with his niece.
Her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
My daughter doesn't need me. Neither does my dad.
Had George Michael and Lindsay stayed, they might have discovered what Michael and Maybe did. That Afternoon Delight was more adult-themed than its innocent melody would have you believe.
And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting.
Hang on, maybe.
Delight.
Listen, I'm going to go get some more punch because it is toast time. Okay.
There we go.
And then he later approaches his uncle. That's the other clip there.
Okay, here you go.
My mom is very stressed out, and she needs something that I can't...
For the love of God, hold on, it just stopped. Can't
give her.
There we go.
Maybe a little afternoon delight.
Oscar thought that Michael was referring to a particular brand of cannabis named Afternoon Delight, a strain famous for slowing behavior.
Well, sure. My question is, which way do I try to get it in her?
I don't need any details.
Maybe I'll put it in her brownie.
Jesus.
Again, he thought he was talking about pot, and Michael Blue thought he was talking about anal sex.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to take a quick break here so I can get this structured because it's all over the place because of the way I'm doing it this week. I will fix this next week, and then we'll be right back. So, ready?
Hello, Mrs. Weir.
James says hello. She can't hear you. Okay.
But she said hello.
First round. Is The Simpsons versus American Dad. Simpsons roasting on an open fire versus American Dad 90 North, 0 West. I'm assuming we're all going to unanimously say
Simpsons.
I guess.
Simpsons it is. Futurama, second round. Futurama, the episode where, you know, Santa Claus is going around killing everybody, right? Santa Claus played by the robot, John Goodman. Versus Community, Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas, where Abed starts going into a claymation hallucination. I'm going to go with Futurama. Katie?
Community.
James?
As much as I love the term claymation hallucination, I'm going to have to go with Futurama.
All right, Futurama moves on. Bob's Burgers. Christmas in the car, where they're stuck in the car, being chased by the candy cane guy. Remember, Bobcat Goldthwait? Yeah. Versus The Office, Dwight Christmas. First real tough one for me. I'm going to make Katie go first.
Bob's Burgers.
Bob's, you monster! I'm going to go with Dwight Christmas. James.
I'm going to go with your missus there and go with Bob's
You
Burgers.
Son of a bitch. That's all right, Bob's Burgers moves on. The Office, off the list. Seinfeld, The Strike, otherwise known as the Festivus episode, versus... that's too good. I can't put those two together. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, A Very Sunny Christmas. I'm going to go with Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
James, is it unanimous?
Yeah.
Seinfeld moves on. Seinfeld on crack goes away. The Boondocks, A Huey Freeman Christmas versus Frasier, Miracle on 3rd or 4th Street. I'm going to go with Frasier.
Frasier.
James?
Yeah.
Wow, this is actually... There we go. All right. Arrested Development versus the Afternoon Delight episode. Versus King of the Hill, which, by the way, I realized when we set up the Arrested Development thing, nothing about that had anything to do with Christmas. There was an anal sex joke. There was an incest joke. There was nothing about Christmas. Oh, wait. No, that is Christmas, isn't it? Okay.
Yep.
Arrested Development versus King of the Hill, the one where Hank dresses up as Lorraine, Bill's ex-wife, to convince him to stop being crazy. I'm going to go with King of the Hill. James?
It's looking strong for Fox right now.
You're going with King of the Hill?
Yeah.
Well, Arrested Development was on Fox, too.
Yeah, but it wasn't animated.
All right, there we go. King of the Hill moves on. 30 Rock Christmas Special, the one where Jack finds out that his mom was banging FAO Schwartz to put presents underneath the tree, and he has the whole Christmas special episode, versus South Park Woodland Critter Christmas.
30 Rock.
I'm going to go with... James, what are you going to go with?
I can't pass up Woodland Critter Christmas.
That's a good one, but I can. Going with 30 Rock. Curb Your Enthusiasm, Mary, Joseph, and Larry, where Larry makes a fool of himself. That's pretty much every episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Real quick, can you play the Mary's Bod clip?
Oh, the Mary's Bod clip? Okay, hold on. I mean, not real quick, but I guess quick.
Semi-quick.
Oh, wait, no, I tried to play the Mary's Bod clip, and it wouldn't play.
Really?
Yeah.
Boo his
it just
boo.
Yeah, it won't load. I don't know why. I don't know if maybe there was something wrong with the link. Hold on, let me try again. Oh, boss, you did this to me.
What happened to the cookies?
Nope,
what?
That's the same.
The cookies.
Here, try this again.
What, from last night?
Oh my God! Yeah. There.
Your personal there love.
Oh boy, and Mary, by the way, has quite the bod.
What?
Come on, Joey. Between you and me.
You and Mary, huh? You don't feel like it every now and then? What do you do?
No, you know what? We're leaving. That's it. Let's pack it
what?
Up. We're leaving.
What? Come on, Joe.
I'm not going to stand for this. Don't Joe me. We're leaving. You will take it back. You'll stand right here and take it back.
Dalvin. Please.
Take it back.
There you go. Kansas City's own David Koechner as Joseph in that.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go... Oh, it was the Curb Enthusiasm, Mary, Joseph, and Larry versus Scrubs, My Own Personal Jesus. I'm actually going to go with Curb Enthusiasm. Katie?
Curb Enthusiasm.
James unanimous. All right. I mean, as much as I love Scrubs, not their strongest episode. All right, no. So we're down to an Elite Eight. The Simpsons roasting on an open fire versus Frasier, Miracle on 3rd or 4th Street. God damn it. I'm going to go with The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Frasier.
Why would you do that to me? I love your favorite show more than you. How about that, John? All right. Simpsons moves on. Frasier.
He's a loser. He's hopeless.
Yeah, he's a Simpson. I mean, come on. It defined the show. Futurama, The Xmas Story versus King of the Hill, Pretty Pretty Dresses. I'm going to go with Futurama.
Futurama.
Is it unanimous, James?
It is.
Futurama. Mujon. Bob's Burgers, Christmas in the Car versus 30 Rock, Christmas Special. Damn it. I'm going to go 30 Rock. It was more Christmassy. I mean, Bob's Burgers is great, but the episode didn't really define, like, it didn't put a bullet point on Christmas.
Christmas in the Car.
You're going with Bob's Burgers. James.
I think I'm going to infuriate
you. Well,
Bobcat Goldthwait losing his shit and punching.
Somebody else has infuriated me a lot more today than either one of you, so that's fine. Seinfeld, the strike, otherwise known as Festivus, versus... I deleted the wrong one, didn't I? Oops,
yeah.
Sorry. Yep. there we go. Sorry about that. Seinfeld, the Festivus episode versus Curb Your Enthusiasm, Mary, Joseph, and Larry.
Oh, Larry David versus Larry Seinfeld. David.
You're going with Seinfeld Festivus. I'm going to say Curb Your Enthusiasm. What do you say, James?
Going with Curb.
You're going with Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just going with it because I assumed you were going to go with Seinfeld.
I'm a wild card.
Oh, no. Well, you know what? I'm going to go with Seinfeld. I'm changing my vote. I have the right to do it. I mean, granted, Festivus has taken on a different meaning for me because of some show that does a thing on Fridays. But I don't want to talk about it. All right, The Simpsons versus Futurama.
Do you need me to punch somebody?
No. I like them. I just don't like the bit that they do. The Simpsons versus Futurama.
That one hurts.
Futurama.
I'm going to say Simpsons, James. I mean, John Goodman is Santa Claus, or he's a loser. He's a Simpson.
I hate to go back to the Sophie's Choice thing, but you guys do that to me sometimes.
Yeah, I know. We should actually have a list sometime with Sophie's Choice on it.
It's going to be the hardest one to not pick.
Yeah.
Or pick.
Wow. I don't know. It would have been easy for me. I'm like, a boy or a girl? I'm going to pick a girl over a boy? Come on. You crazy?
Might as well be Chinese.
All right, come on. Jesus Christ.
It's a thing they do.
Simpsons versus Futurama.
I love Futurama more.
You like, really?
Yep.
All right. Futurama goes to the final, where we'll go up against either Bob's Burgers, Christmas in the Car versus Seinfeld, Festivus. Katie.
What are the choices?
Bob's Burgers, Christmas in the Car, Seinfeld, Festivus.
Seinfeld.
James.
Festivus.
Mm. You're going with Festivus. So that means our final comes down to Futurama, Christmas Story, where Santa Claus is a giant murder robot killing everybody, versus Seinfeld, Festivus, which really isn't a Christmas episode. It's a Festivus episode, but that's fine.
For the rest of us.
What?
Festivus for the rest of us.
Festivus for the rest of us. I am going to ask James. You go first.
I gotta always boost Futurama because it's... so great.
Doesn't get the love that you think it deserves.
I don't.
All right, Futurama.
Katie.
Seinfeld.
You would do that to me, wouldn't you? I'm going to have to go with Seinfeld for the winner of best Christmas episode of a TV show.
No hard feelings.
There you go. The strike. Yeah, I think that's a solid pick. And if people are mad about it, then they're just anti-Semites. So that's the way it works. Bye.